Hello, this is Robert Rickover at Body Learning, and today my guest is Imogen Ragone, an Alexander Technique teacher and web designer in Wilmington, Delaware. And Imogen is also very active in social media, particularly Facebook and Twitter. We're going to talk today about the website that she has just taken over called AlexanderTechniqueBlogs.com. It's kind of a meta site for collecting the best Alexander Technique blogs and making the material in those blogs easily available to visitors. Imogen, welcome to the show.
Oh, very glad to be here, Robert.
So Imogen has taken over this blog from me, so I suppose I am the webmaster emeritus of it. And Imogen has come up with some suggestions for bloggers that will not only make their blogs more effective generally, but also will make them more readily integrated or integratable into AlexanderTechniqueBlogs.com. So I think we should just get right to the, I think you have 9 tips, is that right?
Yes.
All right. So these are all suggestions for people who are either contemplating blogging or who are blogging now. And really what we're after here is making it possible for people to find older blogs that they might be interested in. Because the way the system is set up, blogs come out, they have a very short shelf life typically, and they sort of disappear into the, into the back room, so to speak, of people's blogs. And what we're interested in doing is getting that material out there for people to be able to access, because there's so much really good stuff written on the technique among bloggers these days. And a lot of it is buried at the moment. So our tips are both for current blogs and for making sure your older blogs are visible.
And making sure your current blogs have more longevity.
Exactly.
Absolutely. So my first tip is just to know who you're writing for. Who is your audience? Is it for your own students? Is it for other Alexander Technique teachers? Or is it for potential students, people who know little or nothing about the technique? Is it for a particular niche market only, for musicians or singers or people with back pain? So it's really important to just be very clear, I think, before you embark on your blog to know who you're writing for.
Right. And you and I tend to write primarily for the general public.
Yes.
And I think a lot of the very best blogs right now that are out there are for the general public. But it is interesting that Alexander teachers themselves often find these very interesting, partly because it sheds maybe a different light on something they've thought about, or it's a way of explaining something that they can use if it's a teacher with their students. Mm-hmm. So your audience might be the general public, but it could very well...
That doesn't mean it's the only people it's useful for.
It's not the only people who are going to be reading it. Okay, so tip number two.
So that's tip one. So tip two is just keep your blog posts short as possible. I would say ideally not much more than 500 words. In fact, there's some famous bloggers who just do blogs of a sentence or two sometimes.
Sometimes that's all you need.
Sometimes that's all.
A sentence or two, or a paragraph and an image, mm-hmm. or maybe a paragraph and a video link. I mean, blogs can be incredibly short and be very effective. Absolutely. Yeah. And if it's going to be a longer blog, think of ways to divide it into separate parts.
Exactly. You can have a little series rather than one long thing that maybe will it seemed too daunting. But then having a series, they read a short post and then they're like, oh, there's more coming. I want to read that. So it creates interest too. So.
And I would suggest generally keeping paragraphs short, lots of spacing. Make it inviting for the reader to pursue the whole thing.
Yeah, I think most blogs are usually just text, but yeah, keep them short. But you can, if it's appropriate for your blog, use headings or bullet points and other ways to kind of break it up or make it easier for people to pick up, points from your blog quickly.
Right. Yeah. So tip number three.
Is your favorite, Robert, is use of Alexander Technique jargon terms.
Don't do it
unless your target audience is other Alexander teachers or very advanced students and you've got a very niched group of people who you are speaking to. But I think generally they should be avoided. However, I think there's some really good blog posts explaining jargon terms or principles, if you like.
Oh, absolutely.
They may not even mention the jargon term. or they may mention it at the very end saying, this is what we call in Alexander Technique end gaining or
exactly
or whatever.
And so many of the blogs that are being produced today that are really good ones are really ways of explaining fundamental Alexander ideas to people who know nothing of the technique in ways that make sense in their lives.
Absolutely. And I think apart from it making it much more accessible for anyone to read, I find it so useful for me. It's a really great practice for yourselves to write about principles without using any of our jargon terms.
Exactly.
You know, it's really helpful when you come to talk to people in person. So, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So, tip four, if I'll just move along, is maybe the biggest or most important tip is using tags and categories for your blog. And what that means is, all blogging platforms, or at least all the ones that are worthwhile, have a system for tagging or categorizing blogs with keywords, which can then be searched and found on the blog. WordPress, which I believe to be the best platform, at least right now, has a system for doing both these things, and they're slightly different. Categories are a little bit different from tags. So to explain, categories really refer to the main theme of a specific post. So each post can be placed in a certain category, and I would recommend choosing only one or two categories per blog. And I say two really only because you might sort of have an overall theme that it is Alexander Technique. Might very well cover every single blog you do if you're writing Alexander Technique blogs exclusively.
Right.
But that's really not the subject matter, and that's probably not what people are going to be searching for. So say it could be back pain, or it could be posture, or it could be stage fright, the big subject of that post.
So you want to make sure you have it categorized as that, and that it's easy for visitors to your blog to see that category on the right side of the page or wherever it is.
So often there's a sidebar. It's most commonly on the right, but it could be a widget somewhere else that will just show automatically any of your categories. So say they came to your blog because they're reading the current blog. Maybe it's about posture and they think, they're interested in what you're saying about posture, they might see that you have a category of blogs on posture. And then they can go and see all of them. Or maybe they happen to be reading it, but really back pain is what's of course it's interrelated, but back pain is really what's, bugging them. See that you've got a whole category of blogs on back pain, and they can go back and see all your posts on that.
Exactly. So, and that, and having your blogs categorized that way is also going to enable them to be appropriately listed on this site that alexandertechniqueblogs.com, which is going to be, it is really the meta site for Alexander Technique Blogs. So
yeah, and the reason it's useful for that is I've created as part of the site what you'd done, which was great to start things off, is we just basically had a list of existing blogs in, like, blogs by teachers, blogs by students, blogs by trainees, etc. But if someone wanted to find information on stage fright, that would be too daunting a task for them to look through and find out of all these listings.
Exactly.
Each one, do they have things on stage? So what I've done is for blogs that use this category system, I can easily just list blogs by so-and-so on posture. It's a link to those that category, and it will just pull up all their blogs on that subject.
So it's a way of enabling not only visitors to your blog, but visitors to this meta blog site to quickly search the database and see what's been written by you on topics in the past, which might otherwise be virtually invisible. I mean, it'd be very hard for people.
It keeps things, alive longer.
Exactly.
So tagging is similar, but the difference between each post can be tagged with keywords or subjects that come up in the blog. So you may have a blog on back pain, and that would be the category, but you would also tag terms that come up in the blog, such as tension, posture, British Medical Journal, constructive rest, things like that, that are related, but they're not the sort of the big theme.
Exactly.
So on most and blog sites, these tags are then searchable. So you can pull up any blogs tagged with a certain word, and I can also use that system.
Right.
On Alexander Technique blogs as well, to, list blogs on a certain subject matter.
Exactly. So the big thing is to make it really easy for visitors to your blog to see what you've written by category, basically. That's the key. Okay.
Blog systems don't seem to have categories in quite the same way. They just have a tagging system, but as long as you do the tagging, you can still pull up blogs
on that topic. Okay. Point number five
is have an image with each blog post.
Yes.
Whenever possible, of course the image should relate in some way to the subject of the blog. And it's useful not only because I think people really respond to images, but also when you're posting your blog in the public domain, in social media places like Facebook, but also LinkedIn, Google+, they all pull the image from the blog into the little and a little blurb from the top of the post that shows up when you post it. And having that image rather than just text just really helps it show up out of that stream of stuff they're getting,
It also makes the blog itself more attractive to read.
Absolutely.
And now the warnings that we need to give about images are that you want to make sure you have permission to use that image. If it's your own photograph or something like that, that's no problem. There are a number of sites, and I know you're going to list them in the written material you provide, that have free digital images. They're free, but
as
you
long
have
as you give credit,
credit.
Yes.
You have to give credit, and they have a very specific format for that, and you need to do that. Do not assume that you can just pull an image off of somewhere and use it.
Yeah, don't search Google just for images.
Do not do that.
Most of them are copyrighted, and you could.
And there are programs out there that search images, and you will find yourself in some unpleasant situation if you're using an image that you're not allowed to use. So be very careful about that.
Absolutely.
Okay, next tip.
Tip seven is the use of keywords, which sort of comes into a few of the things we've just been talking about. Maybe especially the categories and tags are obviously keywords to that post, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But you can also add keywords to your blog title, your content in general, and to your image and to links that you use. Did I just talk about links, or have
links? I believe we, in an earlier conversation, you talked about the importance of linking keywords.
I think I skipped tip six, which is links, but it's totally interrelated with this tip seven, which is to use links within the text of your blog and to link it to the keywords that you have. So, for instance, if you had a blog on back pain, you might reference the British Medical Journal study. So you could link those words, BMJ study or British Medical Journal study, right to the study itself. It's like providing it's like a reference, you know, to your source, or you could refer to the BMJ video. So things like that. But also with the use of links, any keywords that you're using, if you link them, it creates more visibility for them. It kind of just within the text for your audience. But also to search engines.
Right.
It kind of ups their...
It makes it more likely that someone who searches for that topic is going to find your blog.
So if you use the term Alexander Technique in the beginning of your blog, especially if it's for a target audience that is the general public, I would always link the words Alexander Technique to either a page on your or post in your own content that's about what the Alexander Technique is, or to an outside source, to alexandertechnique.com.
Right, you could always do that,
or to your professional society site, or you know, something that will give it more substance
and will enable the reader to find out more about it. Yeah, and enable you to keep your blog post a little bit shorter, which is also good.
Explain every single thing that you say, but you can do it by linking.
Exactly.
And to even up those links even a little bit more, when you add the link, there's a way of adding a title to your link.
Mm-hmm.
You do that, that's adding additional words for search engines to read. And in fact, it certainly on WordPress sites, if you then hover over the link, you see the words come up. So, for instance, if you were linking to that British Medical Journal study, you could maybe have the title say, Alexander Technique really provides long-term relief for back pain, or something like that. According to British Medical Journal study, or that's a little bit long, but hopefully you get the idea.
Right. All of these are ways to make your blog posts more likely to be found, right?
And this is actually true of websites too.
In general, this is true of websites,
So an image, which of course you're going to have an image on your site, on your post, we just talked about that. When you be sure that you change the title, because a lot of images have just number titles and they're adding nothing to keywords.
Mm-hmm.
So the title should relate to what the image is and or what the blog post is about. So mm-hmm. it's just adding more words to reinforce, more keywords to reinforce that.
Right. So that's number seven.
So number eight, we're nearly there, is I really recommend that you make sure your blog is mobile friendly. It might be hard for some people to believe that a lot of people actually like to read blogs on their phones, but mm-hmm. they do.
They absolutely do.
If you don't have a mobile friendly, it kind of can be pretty abysmal trying to read it on a phone, and they more than likely won't. So if you want to include people in your target audience who read on phones, which is, believe me, a growing number of people, it's really helpful to have a mobile friendly version.
Yeah, and it is much bigger number than I think most people realize. I know for my own main website, Complete Guide, it's about a third of the visitors are visiting from a mobile phone.
Yeah.
And that number has been going up steadily. And the general consensus by web experts is that it's going to be the majority of searches fairly soon. It's hard for a lot of us who are used to using a desktop computer to get, but people are using their smartphones for surfing much, much more these days.
Absolutely.
And it's growing. And, of course, the website that we're kind of talking about here, AlexanderTechniqueBlogs.com.
Oh, it's a mobile-friendly version.
It is a mobile-friendly version. And if someone then goes to a category of something they're interested in and they suddenly find themselves directed to a non-mobile site, they're very likely just to skip it.
To ditch it, yeah.
People are really, people don't have a lot of tolerance for spending time on stuff like that these days.
Yeah.
So
again, WordPress is brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
But, WordPress is free, basically, and
mm-hmm.
There are a lot of themes, which is basically the templates for the blogs, mm-hmm. which have built-in mobile versions,
right.
Which is what I did with Alexander Technique Blogs. It's got a very nice integrated mobile version.
Mm-hmm.
But if you choose a theme that doesn't, there are plugins, which are basically applications, many of them free,
mm-hmm.
which you can use that will automatically do a mobile conversion for you.
I would think that pretty much all the blogging platforms must have mobile versions
at
this point.
I would have thought, but I don't know.
Yeah, but WordPress for sure.
Yeah, WordPress for sure.
Okay.
So my final thing, and this is actually another really important one, is publicize your blog. Don't just write it. I mean, you hit the publish button to actually publish it, but don't just assume then that's it. You don't have to do anything else. If you want readers, you've got to let people know the blog is there. So there are a few different ways you can do it. I do all of them, really. One is social media is brilliant for getting a word out on your latest blog. So I would say post it on Facebook and Twitter. I also usually put it on Google Plus, LinkedIn, and Pinterest, which on Facebook in particular, which I think is the big one. You know, if you do nothing else, I'd do Facebook.
I'd say Facebook is the key, really.
Yeah, if you do nothing else, if you can do Facebook, if you can, you know, even if social media doesn't do much for you, if you can just bring yourself to post it on Facebook, I think that would be helpful. And there are some really great Alexander Technique community pages where you can post your stuff too, which is, of course, it's to a specific Alexander audience, but it's still those people will often then repost it, and it gains a much wider audience that way. And I would particularly suggest that you join Alexander Technique Blogs on Facebook. And
you have a link to that right on the homepage of AlexanderTechniqueBlogs.com. Yeah,
it's an open group, so you can go and look at it before you, you know, ask to join. So everything is public, but it was really created to help support Alexander Technique bloggers, encourage people to comment on blogs, which wasn't really the purpose of this interview, but I would mention it is useful for you to comment on other people's blogs, not just, you know,
absolutely
on your own. That again is creating more visibility for you and them.
If you do nothing else in the PR department, post your blog on that group, because then it will get picked up, and you know,
other people will do the work for you then if they like the blog. So
if they like the blog, and I would put it on the Alexander Technique Guide page on Facebook, which gets a lot of visitors. So
there are some other key ways though to publicize your blog, apart from social media, I just wanted to mention. Mm-hmm. And one is to make sure you have on your blog site a subscribe button or link where people can subscribe to your blog, which would mean that they get an email notification every time you publish a new blog.
Right.
So that's a great way to, you know, people who like your blogs, it means they'll be sure to read your next post, and you know. And the other way is if you have an email list that you write to regularly, include your latest blog, or some people have their blog be their e-newsletter, and that is another way to get the word out.
Yeah, because it doesn't just happen by itself. That's the thing.
No.
And you know, over the years, I've run into Alexander Technique websites where there was a blog, and often some really interesting blogs that I had never seen before, and which were pretty much invisible.
They're not publicized.
So you know, I'll publicize them if I find them, but. I'm sure there's some treasures buried out there that would, you know, ought to see the light of day, because we really are in a golden age of Alexander blogging, and the material that's out there is so useful for getting, you know, making the technique potentially better known by the general public. There really is wonderful blogging going on, and it's a shame that a lot of it doesn't get more viewers. So anything else you want to say about blogging or the new blog site or the new revamped site?
Go take a look at the new site, the revamped site. It's still a little bit of a work in progress. So I guess it will always be a work in progress because it's the sort of site that's going to be continually added to. Right. If your blog's not listed, drop me a line and let me know, and I'll make sure it gets on there.
So it's AlexanderTechniqueBlogs.com. And it is really the kind of meta website for Alexander Technique blogs. So if you have a blog, get it listed there and do the categories thing that we talked about, and just the other tips we suggested. So I think this might be a good place to end. What do you think?
Yeah, sounds good to me.
My guest today has been Imogen Ragone, who's an Alexander Technique teacher in Wilmington, Delaware. She's a website designer, blogger, Twitterer, and other things like that. And she is the new webmaster of AlexanderTechniqueBlogs.com, which is partly what we've been talking about today. Thanks, Imogen.
Thank you.